Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, that you're in our midst in a, Lord, a very wonderful way. And so, Father, we're asking, Lord, that you would continue, Father, your way. Father, we're aligning ourselves, Father, with your way, your will, your plan. Father, we're asking, Father God, that your path would be made, that your way would go through. And Father, let this be, Father God, the season, Father God, of going forward, Lord, crossing over, Father, into our Jordan, O God, in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Today, the message I feel like the Lord's put upon my heart, and I put a title on it, spiritual transition to a greater place. So this is, I believe, what's going on prophetically in the house right now, and I believe that's going on even in the lives of God's people right now, and even in the church in the area. I believe that we're in a great season of transition, that we're moving out of the old, and we're transitioning now spiritually into a brand new place in God. So we're going to get into the Word of God today, and we're going to explore this that he's put upon my heart through his word. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 3, and starting at verse 12. So Joshua chapter 3, starting at verse 12. And the Bible says, and this is the encounter that God was having with Joshua, and this is reflective of this. And verse 12 says, "Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priest will carry the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. The city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho." So in this scripture right here, it's actually, if we move a little bit further back in the text outlined in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, there was a prophetic word that was given, and the prophetic word went to Joshua, and it was the time when Moses had died, and so it looked like that there was something that was even a bit of a downer at that moment, and something that was even something that was taken away from the Israelites. They had suffered a loss. What was that? Their leader, Moses, had been taken up and brought into a place of going to be with the Lord. And so Israel, I believe, would have gone through mourning, and goodness knows what they would have thought. Who's going to lead us now? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? How could this work out for good? This is not the good time right now. There were many, I believe, probably that had that upon their heart. So the Lord gave a prophetic word to Joshua at the time when Moses died, declaring that God would be with Joshua, and then he would show his presence upon Joshua, and they would see the grace of the Lord upon him, and they would see the power of God upon him. And he instructed Joshua, he said, "Go across the Jordan." So that's in chapter 1. The prophetic word is released so that the plan of the Lord has been downloaded at the time of the death of Moses. And so there's a resurrection now of something that was going even in the atmosphere, and that was a shift in their direction. That they had been wandering in the wilderness for many years, and there was even all the calamity that they went through. But at the death of Moses now was coming in a shift, a transition, and God was saying, "Go into the land of promise. Go across the Jordan. This is the time. This is that Kairos time. And so God is a God of plan and purpose, and he does things according to the way that is on his heart to do and according to the plan. Now, on Thursday night, we looked at and we realized that when God had spoke to Abraham about the land of Canaan that would be their land, it was over 400 years later, about 437 years later, thereabouts, that the plan was even that was enacted. So the Lord was able to see over 400 years into the future, and he knew the right time. He knew the right place. He knew the right people. He knew the right hour. He's a God that would plan. He's a God that has purpose. He is a God that says, I will do it according to the very best way that I know how to do it. Now, maybe they didn't understand what was going on. Maybe they didn't understand why Moses had died at that moment. But the plan of the Lord is superior to our plan. When we're transitioning from one place into another in the realm of the Spirit, the plan of the Lord is so much greater than our own plan, and his insights are so much greater than our insights. So he lays out the plan. And what was it? He says, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel. So all the different 12 tribes of Israel, choose this one and that one and this one and that one and this one. 12 leaders were coming from the tribes of Israel. And he said, the priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. So the priests were the ones that were carrying the ark, and the ark was symbolic of the presence of the Lord. The ark represented the presence of the Lord. So he's saying to those of you that are priests, I want you to carry my presence. If this thing's going to get done, which it will, it's because my presence is being carried. And in the hour, we're called as kings and priests unto our Lord, and he places his Holy Spirit upon us that we would be ones that would go through into a new realm spiritually, that we would go into a next place by carrying the presence of the Lord. It's not by might or by power, no, but it's by the presence of the Lord that is resident inside of his people. It's the Holy Ghost coming with signs, wonders, miracles, and power. He's the God of the breakthrough. He's the God of the deliverance. He's the anointed one. He's the all-sufficient one, and he says, carry my presence into the next season. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as soon as those bearing the Ark had come up as far as the Jordan, and the feet of priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. And then it goes on to say in parentheses, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So what's going on? Let's unpack this scripture just for a few minutes right here. So he's given them the plan, and they're carrying the presence of the Lord. They know the importance of the presence of God. They understand that it's got to be the presence of the Lord that they carry. They're not carrying their bank accounts. They're not carrying their influence. They're not carrying their wit. They're not carrying their intellect. They're carrying something that is so much better than all of that, and that is the presence of the Lord. And then even in worship, as I came up here and I was praying, I didn't pray it out, but I saw it. I saw the water, and I saw many feet in the water. And I believe that we're going through that season right now. I believe we're transitioning out into the water. We're transitioning out into a better place. I believe that this is the Kairos timing of the Lord that we will see. I believe they're going to be suddenlies. I was at home a number of days ago, and I heard a song playing that was streaming, and I'd never heard the song before. It was 2 years old, but it was my time to hear the song. It was my time to hear it. I think there was probably a reason why it had been around for a couple years that I know of, and I hadn't heard it till that moment, because I believe it was Kairos timing. As I walked into a room in our house, and I heard the chorus of this song, and it's a song that they sing in Elevation Worship, and it's called All of a Sudden. And in this song, it's speaking of the breakthrough of the Lord. It's talking about the suddenly of God. It's talking about the move of the Spirit. It's talking about the move of the Holy Ghost. I believe it's going to happen all of a sudden is what they're singing in the song. And as I heard that song, the presence of the Lord came down. And man, I could feel the presence of God in that thing. He was speaking. Why? Because I believe we're heading into that time in the realm of the Spirit. And today, today's message is even prophetic of where we are going. I believe this with all my heart. This is the season and the time. So what was happening in the midst of this as we delve back into the scripture? They're coming up into the Jordan. Now, the Jordan at that point was, it was around April or May, the scholars tell us. And there was a big mountain that was there, and it had snow on top. And around that time of year, the snow would melt and the water would come down. Guess where it would go? Right where they were going to cross. It went right into the Jordan. So the Jordan was at its biggest point. God, couldn't you have caught it to be maybe in the dry season where it was a low point and we could walk out? Does it have to be as big as what it is? Does it have to be as bad as what it is? God, you don't understand the timing. This is not logical, God, because it's the worst time of the year to cross this thing now when the snow is melting from Mount Horeb and the water is up, and they tell us it was about 10 to 12 feet tall. Why is that significant? Well, they had women, they had children, they had animals. There was all these different things that were about to go across this water that was 12 feet. And I'm willing to bet not one of them were 12 feet tall. Maybe, you know, if they were all 13 feet tall, they could have waded across really nicely. No, but this situation literally was over their head. This situation was literally above what they were able to do. And there was even a current that was flowing through that river, and they were at that point where God says, this is the time, this is the place, this is the hour. Now, something else about that time and that place and that hour, geography tells us that that was one of the lowest places in the earth. That area that they were in was one of the lowest places on earth at that moment. And the floodwaters rise. You ever notice at the lowest time in your life, the floodwaters begin to rise? Have you gone through the lowest time and you're wishing that the water would maybe, the obstacle, the barrier would be something you could maybe be a little bit tough but wade through. But when it comes up and it's in that impossible realm, you're like, oh my goodness, here I am at the lowest point and here the water's at its highest point. And God, you're saying to cross over on the other side. The crossing over, the transition into the realm of a new place spiritually, into a breakthrough place, is always that causes us to rely on the Lord and not on ourselves. That is the way that He operates. That is the way that He does life. This is what He does because He's God and He desires to be the focal point that we carry His presence going through. So they were coming into, if you will, a very narrow place. A very narrow place. If it wasn't going to be God, it wasn't going to get done. If it wasn't going to be by the hand of the Lord, it was not going to be done. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Wow, that's not a shout me down scripture right there, is it? But when we look at that, it's talking about the broad way. The way of that leads to destruction is easy, and it's a huge way. There are many paths. It's a big, giant opening. There's plenty of room for everybody to go through that. So what's he talking about, Jesus? What are you meaning? He's talking about the way of the flesh, the nature of the flesh nature, that nature that is even predisposed to sin. Your flesh nature finds it very easy to sin. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach them to act up in public. They just do it all by themselves. That flesh nature is that comes easy. Why? Because that is the nature that God says, I desire that you crucify as you're going over into the narrow way. So he goes on to say, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. In the narrow way, it requires coming to the end of ourselves. Have you ever seen a cat go in the water, or you're about to bath a cat? I can remember trying to bath a cat that I had. And man, that thing fought. It swung. It was ready to, you know, take me on. Like, I'm a lot bigger than the cat, but the cat had fleas. I was a kid, and that cat was ready to go at it. Wasn't wanting to go into the tub. That is what the flesh nature is like. I don't want to go in the water. I don't want to let God take control. I want to be in control. You're not putting me in that tub. I'm not going in this thing. I am not going there. And that cat would be fighting. And man, I had to, you know, work with that thing to try. It was for the cat's good, was to try to give it a flea bath, because when we had this cat, it was an indoor-outdoor cat, and it began to get fleas as it was outdoor. And man, we didn't want those things all over the house, so we had to do what we had to do. Now, God looks at us, and he has to do what he has to do. He has to separate us from our flesh. He has to bring us away from the path that will lead to destruction, from the path that thinks that it's right, from the path that thinks that it can do it all by itself, as long as I'm the boss, God, it's all good. That's what the flesh nature says. And God says that path will lead to destruction. That path will lead to a place where you're missing the call of God. And so when it says, and few there be that find it, denying ourselves and picking up our cross, the Bible says that few there will be that will find that place. Now that is a very sobering scripture in the midst of it. It's God's will that all would come into a place of salvation, that all would come into that narrow path, because at the end of the narrow path there's life, and that more abundant. But God leads us in a way that we have to deny ourselves, where we have to come to that place where we are no longer in control. So as they are at the edge of the Jordan River, and there was instructions that went forward, and the instructions were to carry the ark, and then when the priest put their feet in the ark, they had to go how? As soon as the water dries up, well, we'll go across. No, there was still water in the Jordan. Joshua, you're telling us to go forward. Do you realize how many people are behind us? What happens if the ark falls over with it is the presence of God? What happens if we drop it in the midst of the deep water? They had to deny themselves and say, okay, I believe you, Joshua, that you're hearing the Lord, and I'm going to walk even the word of the Lord out. And so as they were carrying the ark, the seven priests began to walk in the water. They began to step in the water. So number one is we have to walk it out in faith. The narrow way is in faith, believing God. The narrow way is faith, trusting God. The narrow way is in faith, put our focus on God and carrying the presence of the Lord. This is all part of the narrow way, because on the other side of the narrow way, it's not narrow. On the other side of the narrow way, it's big. On the other side of the narrow way, there is even a land that is flowing, the Bible says, with milk and honey. There's something deep and profound when we go through the narrow way and we go to that place on the other side, even in the realm of faith, that life begins to open up in the realm of the Spirit, and we partake of a greater sense of the presence of the Lord and of the power of the Lord. And even I believe that the blessing and prosperity of the Lord is on the other side of the narrow way. Now, there are many narrow ways that we go through in our lives. Anytime you deny your flesh, it's a narrow way. Anytime you refuse to get bitter, it's a narrow way. Anytime you choose to be offended, it's a narrow way. Anytime that you choose to give in to the flesh, maybe there's a moment of temptation on the internet, and it's a narrow way to turn away from that temptation and to go toward the way that is narrow. It is the way that Jesus has opened up. That's the narrow way. So it's interesting, as they began to step out, the waters began to recede in the Jordan River. So 12 feet of water were going right down as they stepped in the water. But what I find interesting, it says, the waters coming down from above stood up and rose up in a heap very far away. Now listen to this, at Adam. I've read this before, but I didn't catch it. I'm going to say it again. The waters were coming down from above and stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. Adam was a city that was about 25 kilometers down the road. So that's where the water began to stand up. That was the blockage. That was the source of where the Jordan River was being drained. And it was flowing now into the Dead Sea. So there was a blockage in the water. The water was going down, and it was all going into the Dead Sea. So in Adam, when you begin to look at the topography and so forth, there was these big clay cliffs, about 150 feet or so. And the waters and the turbulent waters at the Jordan, it's an area where all this mud and clay and everything can come crashing down and begin to obstruct. Now, whether that's exactly what God did at that moment, he did it in a city called Adam, and he blocked the water at Adam. Well, it's interesting that Adam was in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. He was the gateway for sin coming into the world. He was the gateway of death and all the torment and suffering that we go through. It was all coming through Adam. So Paul writes in the New Testament of a second Adam. By one man sin entered into the world, by the other man came righteousness and peace and truth. And that was the Bible calls Paul the second Adam, which was Jesus. And so I believe what was going on in this moment was a type and a foreshadowing of that was about to come. It was a place where the blockage, because the Jordan River meant a place of death for them at that moment. It was a barrier. It was an obstruction. It was an impossible situation. So God chose, I believe, the city of Adam in order that the waters would raise up. And in the second Adam, the water of the Spirit of life raised up, which is Jesus Christ. In the second Adam, the water of the presence of the Lord, it came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus became the second Adam that we would be able to now cross over into a new place spiritually. We're crossing over from a place of death into a place of life by the second Adam, Jesus Christ. We're crossing over into that would be even a broad way. It would have been easy for them standing at the edge of Jordan and say, well, let's just go over there. It's nice and dry. Well, let's just go back. There's a nice hill over there. Maybe we could set up our sheep and cattle and goats and all these things over there. Or maybe we could just go around this way. Or maybe we could take time and build some boats. The broad way will sound like the logical way. The broad way will sound like the way that it makes sense, that you can figure out that you can be in control because the flesh nature wants to be in control. And the broad way says that I'm God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I want it done. There is a place where the broad way has to come underneath our feet. So he made that place, Adam, and I believe representative of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the place where death, which was the Jordan flowing in, was now blocked. Where the threat of death, and Paul said, "Where, O death, is your sting?" And so the Jordan River, if they would have went out, many would have died. But now it had come down into a path, and they were going across the path into the promised land. So you look at the timing of all this, and I want you to look at the precision accuracy. 430-some-odd years later, earlier, God prophesied to Abraham, "You're going to cross over into the land of Canaan." 400-some-odd years later, about 30 years later, that's a long time in the future. And he prophesied to Abraham, "You're going to go over at that time." And then he prophesied to Joshua that, "I want you to get all the people ready. And at the moment that the priests step in, the water's going to go down." The timing of the Lord opens up a realm of miracles. The timing of the Lord is a realm of suddenlies. It is a realm of suddenlies. As when I was walking in my room that day at home to that song I spoke about earlier, and I heard it, and it's talking about, I believe it's going to happen all of a sudden. I believe it's happening suddenly. I believe it's happening suddenly. The words of the song, they utter this out, and I felt the witness of the Spirit of the Lord. So let's look into this thing of suddenly just for a minute. In Acts chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." So that was a suddenly. They were 120 in the upper room. They'd been in there for days, and they were waiting on the Lord. And then there was a suddenly where the Spirit of the Lord was poured out. It was a suddenly. Acts chapter 16, verse 26, the Bible says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened." That's encouraging. So they were carrying in prison the presence of the Lord. If you will, they were carrying the ark. And they were at a situation that seemed to be impossible. They were in jail. They were chained down. There was no way out. They were going to be at a place of great, great persecution, chained up in prison. So they carried the presence of the Lord. How do you know that? They began to worship him, singing and praying hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So I believe that what we're at right now, I believe that we're beginning to step out into the water prophetically. And I don't know the exact time of that. It's not up to me to know. It's not up to you to know. But I know in the realm of the Spirit, I believe that God is bringing us, transitioning from the place where we've been into a new place. And it's even that he knew 432 years before that you would be sitting here, that you would be the ones that he would say, "I want you to even get into the presence. I want you to carry the ark. I I want you to move forward. And when you get even to that place that's even impossible, I want you to obey my word, and I want you to step out even in the midst of what I'm telling you to do. And I'm going to bring about even a realm of the suddenlies. The realm of the suddenlies, I believe, are upon us. I believe are upon God's heart for this season. Whether that's next week, whether it's next month, whether it's 6 months, I don't know exactly. I just believe that in the realm of the Spirit, we're at that place of the suddenlies where God is about to move. So I want to say at this moment, where are you at in terms of your Jordan? Where are you at in terms of your life? Are you willing to cross right now? Because now is the time. Are you willing to cross? Are you willing to deny the flesh even what you're going through right now? Are you willing to forgive that one? Are you willing to even press in if the Lord's been speaking to you about pressing into him in a deeper way? Maybe in a deeper place in prayer, maybe a deeper place in his word. What is God placing upon your heart? In what way is the cloud beginning to move over your life? And I want to say right now, examine your life right now, because I'm examining my life. Are you willing to go forward even into the realm of the narrow way right now with what you're going through, with what's been prophesied? Are you willing to roll up your sleeves? Are you willing to even say, God, I'm willing to go forward even in this realm of the narrow way? Are you willing to release the broad way and let it go? Are you willing to release the way that would lead to your destruction? Are you willing to release the way that would lead to that would cause you to even miss the will and the plan of God? Is that possible? Yes, I believe it is. I've been thinking about this, and my opinion is, yes, I believe we can miss the plan and will of God. When Dr. Russ had told me one time that he said that he was not the first one that God chose. He said he believed he was number four. That means three people came to the Jordan. No, it's 12 feet deep. Doesn't make sense. I don't want to put in the work. I don't want to go through all that. That's way too much work for me. And the first one, I believe, walked away. And where are they at now? Where is that one at now? Where is he or she at right now? And the second one evidently went forward, looked at the Jordan, maybe stuck his toe in, her toe in, a little bit cold. No, I don't think I want to endure that. That's not comfortable. The broad way is comfortable, which is my way. My way is a lot more comfortable than starting Eagle Worldwide. That means a lot of warfare. That means a lot of my time. It means a lot of my effort. It means a lot of sacrifice. I don't know if I really want to go in that way. I think I'll choose the broad way. I think I'll go the way that feels comfortable to me. After all, I like comfort very much. After all, I just want to take it easy. After all, I don't want to put out too much effort here. Just want to, you know, maybe go to church Sunday, once in a while during the week perhaps. Throw a little bit in the offering. It's nice and comfortable. And number three, same thing. Same thing. No, I don't think I'll do it. And Dr. Russ was number four. And if you're watching, Dr. Russ, we honor you. We honor you. Because the narrow way, the Bible says, can be hard to denying yourself. I don't feel like forgiving this person. Man, I'd rather slap them than forgive them. I don't feel like spending my time in the Word and studying. I don't necessarily feel like doing all that. I'd rather be watching the basketball game, or I'd rather be doing a number of different things right now. Or that place that the anointing will cost you something, because they were carrying the anointing of the Lord for that time and that purpose. It will cost you something to walk with the anointing of the Lord in your life. It will cost you something that the presence of the Lord is even in your life. And there's an anointing that leads you. There's a voice that leads you. It's the Holy Ghost. And He brings you into that place where the breaker anointing breaks out. That comes with a price. It comes with a price. Cultivating the presence, cultivating your relationship with God, going into a place of spending time with Him, getting to know Him, that will cost you your time. It will cost you effort. You have to go and say goodbye to other things and trade it for this thing. Jesus spoke about buying the field, the whole thing, so that you can get the treasure in it. The narrow way causes us to sell the field of the Broadway and to embrace the narrow way to get the treasure. Oh, because when you're on the other side, when you're on the other side of the narrow way, there's life and that more abundantly. I'm going to do more than what you think. I'm going to do more than what you ask. Don't let the enemy mock you. Don't let the enemy trick you. I'm going to bring about all that my plan holds for you, and you're going to be in even that spiritually that is a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. When I'm in the presence of the Lord and He begins to speak, at that moment I feel so good, I feel at peace. When I hear Him in the midst of the worship and I begin to spend that time with Him and I can feel His presence, I can sense His peace, and as He begins to speak to my heart, it changes things and something is filled inside of me that if I had not have done that morning or that afternoon or whatever, I would have missed an opportunity that way. And I know we have things to do, but sometimes we use it as an excuse in order not to go the narrow way. Sometimes we choose a schedule that is too busy. Sometimes we choose many different things. There's Martha and there's Mary in the Bible, and yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to do the work of the ministry. Yes, we have to do all that God has called us to do. When we're at the Kingsway, it is a lot of work. But on the other side of that, there is a time of saying, God, I'm going to switch right now into a Mary mode, and I'm going to spend that time with You, and I'm going to be in Your presence, and I'm going to cultivate, because there's a warfare that goes on the narrow road. Now, the warfare is even for your soul, ultimately. It releases you and breaks down and releases you from the broad way and from the way that leads to destruction that's resident inside, where Paul says, I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's a broad way inside of me, Paul was saying. There's a way that leads to destruction that's inside of me. It's my flesh nature. And so Paul says, I press on. So that's an indication of a choice that he's making. For the prize of the high calling of God, there is a realm of a decision. There's a realm of allocating time. There's a realm of working the word. There's even that does our part in the midst of it. And God does His part. And it takes the two coming together, even in the midst of it, in order that we go to the other side. So this morning, what is the Jordan that you are facing? What is the barrier of fulfilling the call of God that's upon your life? Where are you at in terms of transitioning to a greater place spiritually? Is it, I want to be comfortable? I want to take it easy. I want to just flow. Comfort, comfort. We dance with comfort in Canada. We dance, we dance. Oh, comfort, do the big dip. Comfort, 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 comfort. When I've looked at Fox's Book of Martyrs and I've seen some of the people, what they went through, maybe tied to a stake in the water, and as the tides came up, wasn't comfortable. The water was coming up and they were beginning to drown for their faith. It wasn't comfortable. It cost them something. And so far we haven't had to endure anything like that. When John Huss was being burned at the stake, my Lord, he was singing and worshiping the Lord. Why? Because there was a fourth man in the fire with him at that moment. And he was being burned for his faith. And he was worshiping the Lord in the midst of it. I'll be with you through the waters. I'll be with you through the fire. I'll be with you. And so far in Canada, we haven't been called to that extreme. Many before us have cultivated even the laws of our land and the nation. They've cultivated much in our nation. And we've enjoyed a lot of peace. But we've got to a place in Canada where we are addicted to comfort. And let me go there, because it's a broad way. It's called a P-A-H-O-N-E. It's called a phone. And that thing, I feel it pulling on me. I feel it wanting my attention. And a spirit of distraction gets released over that thing right now. Today, I just turned my phone off. I had to shut it off. What if somebody calls? What if they call? It doesn't matter. There are times where I'm just, you know, with the Lord, I've got to shut it off. Because it dings and open my eyes and I, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I think I got to do this and I get out of prayer. That thing is after me. It's like a dog going after my leg. Get off, get off, get off, get off. That thing's going after me. Bad Samsung. Bad. And I'm not saying the company. I'm talking about the phone. Bad Google Pixel. Bad, bad. Sit, sit. Stay. No, stay. Sit, sit, stay. Say, sit. No, no. Roll over, play dead. Yes, play dead. That's good. We need to make the decisions that we're going to stand before the Lord and say, thank God we made that decision at that time. I don't know if there are any of the Israelites that said, no, I'm not going over. I'm going to be texting for a little bit. I'm going to be on TikTok. You guys go. I'll catch up later. I don't know if any were doing that. No, I'm, you know, I just want to chill back and kick back and relax. You guys go. Broad is the way. That flesh nature will create a broad way. But the spiritual nature is willing. And those of you that are twice born, you're born again, as the Bible calls it. There's something that God has placed inside of you. Cultivate that desire. Cultivate that relationship. Cultivate it. Get everything you can and put it into your relationship with God, because we're transitioning now in history, I believe, into a revival mode. I believe we're heading into that mode. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to have our intercessors come up. I think some are out in the doing kids' church and so forth. But then I just want the intercessors to come up. And these ones have been cultivating before the Lord day and night. They've been pressing in because they're hungry for more. They've been pressing in because they desire more. They've been pressing in because they want to see revival, because they want to see you win. They want to see you moving in the presence of the Lord. They want to see you carrying the ark of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. So as the intercessors are here today, I want to encourage you, those of you that you want to, there's a barrier in front of you, and you want to step forward and you want to go past the barrier, that there's something that's hindering you, be it a phone, be it a decision, be it whatever. I want to encourage you, the altars are open right now, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe the Lord even for the anointing now, even to break that yoke, the anointing now, that we would be able to walk into a realm at the appointed time of the suddenly, and we're going to believe God in order to do what he wants to do. So if that's you here today, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray that God releases even that is needed, even for that moment of entering into your Jordan and into your promised land. So come on up. Come on up. Those of you that are watching online, Father, we're praying, oh God, that there would be a deposit. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that there would be a deposit in the Spirit, Father, even now. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that anointing, Father God, for breakthrough, that anointing for prophetic vision, that anointing for prophetic accuracy, Father, would be released upon those that are online right now. And Father, we're believing, oh God, that, Lord, that there is a mighty move of your Spirit that's falling upon the people right now. Father, we're believing, oh God, you're creating new realms of hunger. You're creating new realms of an appetite. Father, we're declaring, oh God, that we want to be like Dr. Usby, the ones that say yes. Father, I pray that you would give us the go-ahead. Father God, give us the grace to say yes. So, Father, let there be an anointing of your Spirit, Lord. We're asking and praying in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.